greet you again in Jesus' name. It's such a wonderful privilege to be gathered together on this first day of March. Isn't it incredible how time just keeps moving on? It just seems like the new year was here, and here we are already several months into the year. And how fast life just keeps changing and throwing things our way. May we be faithful. Appreciate the service so far. The songs that we sang was a blessing. I've been doing this study on the I Ams of Christ. And it's been a blessing to me. Can someone tell me what we studied 2 weeks ago on the I Am? Can someone tell me which one it was? If someone remembers, would you raise your hand? I won't pick you. I just want to see who all remembers. Thank you. Were you feeding on the donuts this week, this past week, or were you feeding on the bread of life? I went to Wise's, and lo and behold, there was the donuts, the first thing that met my sight when I walked in. And I wondered how many of you might have done the same thing when shopping and you've seen the junk food of this world. And it's right there for you. It's just ready to take your attention, take your eyes off Jesus. But did you find the bread of life this past week? Jesus gives us everything we need. Turn with me to John 14. I want to look at another I Am of Christ. John chapter 14, we're going to spend the majority of our time right here in this book. So again, turn with me there. There's quite a few of I Ams, but we have this I Am in verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I am the way. And that's what I want to look at this morning. And my title is a little bit different. The title is just simply this. How can we know the way? Because we can see Thomas. He had this question. How can we know? How can we know how to go with you, Lord? I would like to read these verses. Those that were at rescue mission with us last night will recognize the verses that I read there. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. And you know, we live in a world that is just really troubled right now. There is so much unrest. There is so much fear. Fear of the future. Fear of the what ifs. This coronavirus has the world scared. As a child of God, does it have you scared? Around the world, people are wearing their masks. They're scared. They're scared they're going to contact a virus. Thousands have died. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Are you trusting in the world around us to provide our security? Or do you have your heart based in Jesus Christ? The political scenes right now have the world shook up. Who's going to be our next president? Everyone is vying for that position. It could be a scary situation to be in. But to a child of God, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth thy works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. The greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Just going to stop there. We'll finish reading it later. But we have these words of Jesus, this dialogue between him and his disciples. He was talking to them just like I'm talking to you. And he says, I'm going to go away. And you know where I'm going, and you know how to get to me. And Thomas butts in, he says, Lord, I don't got a clue where you're going. How am I supposed to know where you're going? And if I don't know where you're going, how am I supposed to find you? That's really what he's saying. I'd just like to think about what these disciples are going through in this chapter. They've been with the Lord for a long time, following the Lord, walking with him day by day, watching his miracles. They walk through the triumphant entry, and they've seen people honoring the Lord, and life was so good until we get into chapter 13. And then we have Jesus washing their feet, and Jesus saying, I am your servant. I am come to serve you. And they're picturing this man as a king. He has Jesus telling his disciples, I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to be your king. Actually, I'm going away. Their life was in a turmoil. Life wasn't turning out what they thought was going to turn out to be like. Their master, their Lord, was saying he's going away. Not only that, he says, I'm going to be betrayed. And it doesn't make sense to them. If we back up to chapter 13, we again have Jesus talking. And he says again, I'm going to be going away. And Simon Peter said unto him, and he said, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me hereafter. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou verily lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And then it takes us right into this chapter of let not your hearts be troubled. And he just keeps talking to his disciples. Let them not be afraid, because I'm going away. And it brought a lot of questions into their mind. And we have Thomas. As I said, he just kind of butts into Jesus. He said, well, Lord, where are you going? Let's talk a little bit about Thomas, because what do we know about him? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of Thomas? If you're like me, you think of doubting Thomas. The man that said, I ain't going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it until I see it. We have three different accounts, different times where they talk, where Thomas talks, just three recorded times. And the one already referenced where he says, Lord, I'm not going to believe it. And the Lord did come to him, and he believed. We always tend to think of that he was a doubting man, but he believed, and he said, Lord, my God. That was the last time recorded in the scriptures. We have this conversation where he's saying, Lord, where do you go? And how can we know the way? And we have one other. If you turn over to chapter 12. It's chapter 11. Chapter 11. We have the death of Lazarus. Verse 14, Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. For I am glad for your sakes that I am not there, for the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciple, let us also go, that we may die with him. I just find that interesting. Here's a man that says, I'm so committed, Lord. If you're wanting to go, I'll go with you. And if we die, we die. It's kind of, if we get stoned, let's go. We'll die with him too. He was committed to following the Lord. There we have those three times. He was committed, but he was saying he had some questions. Thomas was probably a young man. A lot of the disciples are probably in their 20s. I tend to think the disciples were 40-year-olds, old men. But the disciples were young men. From the research I've done, it said 20, maybe even younger, maybe 22. So you young men, you are the disciples' age. Following the Lord, taking the most of your energies and following the Lord, you can identify with Thomas. He was close your age. And he had a question for the Lord. And we don't see the Lord getting upset. The Lord's okay with questions. There's times when we have questions of life. And we have the Lord taking time for this question. He didn't get upset. He didn't say, Thomas, what's wrong with you? I've been teaching you all this time and didn't you get it? What's your problem, Thomas? But Jesus just simply answers the question. And he has these tremendous teaching of, I am the way. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And that is a tremendous question that I want to think about this morning. How can we know the way? There is so much in this world. There are so many donuts that we taught the other time. All the good things this world has to offer, and everybody says, do this, do that, do this. It's confusing. How can we know the way? How do we know what's true? And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. There's a story that's told. There's lots of stories, but I came across the story of a group of skiers that were in the Swiss Alps, and they had a booked event. And in the Swiss Alps, it's a lots of slopes, and it was overwhelming to the people. And they said, "Well, don't you have some maps? Don't you have a tour book that we can read and that we can understand where we are?" And the tour guide just simply said, "I am the way." In other words, he was the one to show them. You don't need a tour book. You don't need a guide. Just follow me. I am the way. I'll show you where to go. And this morning, Jesus Christ is saying to all of us, I am the way. I will lead you. I will show you. Jesus is the only way. All the other religions have people that you follow, but Jesus is the way. He's just not a good man. He's not one of the many ways. He is the only way to eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and life, eternal life. Life that's everlasting. I am the only way. And it stands in stark contrast to the world around us that teaches that you can be somebody. If you trust in yourself enough, you can be somebody. You can lift yourself up. You can do it. Just believe in yourself. You compare that to the teaching of Jesus that simply says, I am the way. I believe it was probably the most important question that we can ask in life. How can we know the way? And we need to answer that in our minds. We need to answer that in our hearts. Ecclesiastes, turn with me there. I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 1. I believe this question has been debated since life. And we have King Solomon, this man that was very educated, very wise. I, the preacher, verse 12, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. The sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness, and to know folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. This man was really pondering this question: how can I know the way? How can I know the way to freedom, to everlasting life, to everlasting pleasure? And he says, I said to my heart, go now, let's have some mirth. Let's have some jokes. Let's just laugh it up. Life is fun. Life is full of games and giggles. And he said, you know what? We laughed a lot, but it didn't do anything for us. So verse 3 says, I tried some strong drink. I tried some wine. There's nothing like a good glass of wine. And he said, that didn't do anything either. Verse 4, I made me great works. I built big mansions, and they were fancy. Great works of architect. It took years to build them. And people would walk through there and say, wow. That didn't bring me pleasure. I planted vineyards. I made me gardens. I planted all kinds of things, and man keeps trying this. They try to bring themselves pleasure. They try to answer this question. What am I going to do with life? I made pools of water. I got me servants and made servants. I gathered me silver, verse 8. I was a rich man. Silver and gold doesn't decay. Stock markets will never crash on silver and gold. At least you have some value left. I tried music. I tried instruments. We sang a lot. We danced a lot. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. If you turn over to the last verses in Ecclesiastes, here's what he says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God's going to bring us into judgment for what we do with life. And so, this question, how can we know the way to true freedom? How can we know the way to everlasting life? How do we know the way to the things that bring lasting pleasure to life? None of us like to be lost. We operate in the days of GPS. But you go back in the days before GPS and you really did have to rely on a map. And I don't like driving around with someone that don't know where they're going. I like to know exactly where we are. I like to know. I just hate that feeling of not really knowing, and we're just driving to the next stop sign, and you just hope you see something. That really gives you an unsettled feeling. And I think Thomas was feeling that way. He's like, Lord, I really want to know. I don't like to be lost. I don't want to be out here just wandering around. We've probably all had those times when we were lost physically. I don't like being lost. I remember a time I was lost in the mountains. I don't consider myself to be a very good hunter, and obviously not, but we were just newly married, and I decided my wife should go with me, and I was going to show her how I archery hunt. That was years ago. And so we took a walk. We were walking up through the mountain. I thought I knew where I was going. It was dark, and all of a sudden I realized I was not on the trail, and I did not know where I was. I don't go up there enough to really keep it from year to year, and I thought I could find my way, but it was so different. And I finally had to admit to my wife, I don't know where I am. I guess we're just going to have to stay here till daylight, because I was on the trail, but I'm lost. And so we just sat there, and eventually another hunter come through, and he didn't know we were there because I had a flashlight off. And I observed where he was. Ah, over there. There's the trail. I wasn't lost anymore. I walked to where I found a scene where he went, and lo and behold, there was the trail. And so now I'm okay. And life is so much like that. Brethren, can get us back on track. Thomas is saying, Lord, I want to know how to go. Tell me how to go. So where's Jesus going? Jesus says, I'm going away. And we know this. This is a very simple, told one of you brothers, this is a very simple sermon. Where's Jesus going? Jesus was on this earth and he said, I'm going back to my Father to prepare a place for you, for each one of you, for all of mankind, for all of mankind that would choose to serve. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. What do you think about when you think of mansions? The first thing I think about as a builder is huge. Someone is trying to make a statement. Someone that spent all their money on this earth. A big fancy house. Maybe think of a song that says, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. I don't know how many of you know that song. In that bright land. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. Someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. We know groups that sing that song. It says, it goes on to say this. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below. That's where we live now. I'm satisfied with just a cottage, but someday I want a fancy mansion. And does that song sound like the right kind of song to sing? It says, I want a mansion that has gold, and I want a mansion that has silver in it. And we sing that song. At least I know groups that sing it. But I don't believe it's actually realistic what the Scripture's teaching, because this word mansion isn't what we anticipate at all. It's not a huge place with gold. There is gold and silver in heaven. We know that. But this word mansion is just simply abode. Jesus said, I want to make your abode with me. That word mansion concocts all kinds of ideas in our mind, and it's not realistic. It's just the Greek word that just says dwelling, residence, room for all. You could turn to verse 23. If any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode. That word abode and mansion, those Greek words are the same. Christ just said, Jesus said, I am going to heaven to make a place to bring the saints home. That's where Jesus went. He is going to prepare a place for us. It's a mansion. It will be a mansion. It's going to be so much bigger and better than what we live on this earth. We do live in just a little cottage. But it's a choice that we have to make. I was teaching last night at Rescue Mission, and there sat a group of men and ladies that I believe were struggling with life. That's why they were there. And I presented Jesus Christ to them. But it was a choice. I told them, I can't make you accept Jesus, but I want you to. Jesus is someone that we can trust, someone that we can put our confidence for the future. But it's a choice that everyone must make. Jesus is going home and will have mansions for us that's out of this world. But we have to choose them. We have to choose them. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. He is the only one. I am the way. There's no other way to get there. There's no other way to get to the Father but by Him. I am the way, the only way, the truth, and the life. Let's go back to Philip's question, or Thomas's question. We have different people talking here, and I keep getting them mixed up, so I hope I don't say the wrong name. But this is Thomas that is talking here, and his question is, Lord, how do we know the way, and how do we get there? Already talked about how important this question is. Because if we don't get this question right, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? We went to the wise preacher and he said, I did all these things. I gained the whole world. But if we don't answer that question right, we're going to lose our own soul and we've gained nothing. We've actually lost. How do I know the way and how do I get there? He gives clear directions on that. Let's go over to verse 18. And we're going to read to verse 24. We're in John chapter 14. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my commandments, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Just simple teaching. He says, how do we know the way? How are we going to get there? He says, if you keep my words. We read it twice. We will keep. Verse 23, it talks about keeping his words. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. It's just very simple, just simple obedience. Obedience to what the teaching that God has given to us. Simple teaching. Being a disciple, just like they were. Walking with the master every day. Making choices to follow him. Does it take special people to be a follower? Does it take special people to be a disciple? I'd just like to think with you a little bit. Who were the disciples? They were just people, regular old fishermen. A little bit rough. You think about Peter, how he was throwed a coat on around his nakedness. He was just an old fisherman, a rough one. James and John called them sons of thunder. They wouldn't think twice to chew you out. Left their tempers flare and just left it fly. You didn't want to get too close to James and John because they'd let you have it. What happened after they walked with Jesus? If you love me. You go to 1 John. It just talks about the love of the Father and how John was just a soft, tender-hearted person. It's just hard to believe they were the same people. They made choices to follow the Master. There was only one way, and they followed him. I am the way. And as they followed him, they discovered that their lives were changed. We could go over to chapter 15. And we could look at where it talks about abiding in him. It talks about the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. I will just read it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And it goes on to talk about abiding in the vine. That's where we get our nourishments. That's how we find our way as we abide in Christ. A brother had put this on his status yesterday, and it was so good. I wrote it down. The branch of the vine does not worry and toil and rush here to seek for sunshine and there to find rain. No, it rests in union and communion with the vine. And at the right time and at the right way, is the right fruit found on it. Let us so abide in the Lord Jesus. It is just simple obedience to what Jesus has laid out. Trusting him. There's a lot of churches, a lot of preachers that like to preach easy Christianity. And I wish I could just tell you that life is going to be grand and glorious when you abide in him. And God's going to just bless you so abundantly. That's not what Jesus teaches. We have to be real about it. The song says, no, it's not an easy road we are traveling to heaven, for many are the thorns on the way. It's not an easy road, but the Savior is with us. His presence gives us joy every day. Chorus says, no, it's not an easy road, but the Lord is walking with us. And then it becomes easier to bear. Turn with me to Matthew 7. It talks about the two different ways. Jesus says, I am the way. That's one way. And I want to look at we know what Matthew 7 is. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We live in a world of easy Christianity, and everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's a Christian. If you love the Lord, you're saved. You're going to heaven. But is that what the Bible says? It says that narrow is the way. When I think of the broad gate, I think of the old things you rolled coins down into. The old wishing well, is that what you call them? I'm going to try to draw a picture of one. The old wishing wells that you drop your coins down in. Haven't seen them around recently, but probably a lot of you have. You drop your coin in there and it starts to go around faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster, and it goes down and goes down and eventually drops out at the bottom. The broad way, that's the easy way, is like that. It's easy to get into it. Easy Christianity, and Satan does it. He gets people in that groove and they start flying around the circle. It's eating the donuts and all the good things of life. It sucks them in. And they go around faster and faster, and they can't stop themselves. Unfortunately, down here, it's the fire, destruction. It doesn't take them where they want to go. They're trapped. And you put your coin in there, and it goes around and around and around. And sometimes it's fun to start two of them. And they fly around and fly around, and all of a sudden they bump each other, and bloop. They're gone. And you know, we tend to think that we can control our life. That's the broad way. There's many people that's on that journey, and they're not going to where they want to go. But Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate. And I picture let's drive it over here. It's narrow. This is the way. The way of Jesus Christ. Jesus saying, I'm the way. And the only way to get there, it's a narrow spot. But it leads to the gates of heaven. The glories of heaven. And he says, there's no way to get there unless you go the way. Set your affections on things above. That's Romans. Not on things on this earth. As we set our affections, our hopes, our dreams, it'll get us to where we want to go. We could go to Hebrews 11. That talks about the people that didn't have an easy life. They didn't have the joys and the pleasures. We could write fun. Everything in Ecclesiastes that we talked about. Mansions, pleasures. Doesn't do anything. There's only one way to eternal life, and that's through the Father. And so Thomas is saying, Lord, how do we go? What is the way? And Jesus says, I am the way. And I would like just to go down over, how do we find the Father? What if one of your neighbors would say, how do I get on that narrow way? How do I follow the way? We read it. If you would go back to John chapter 14. He talks about believing. And you know, it is an act of faith that we have to believe that Jesus is the only true way. There is no other way to make it. We have to believe that God is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'd like to read some verses from John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's a question that goes out to you this morning. Do you believe that there is one and only true way? Do you believe in Jesus this morning? It's a choice that each of us need to make. In order to be saved, in order to find our way with Him, we need to realize that we need a Savior, that we're a sinner. We need to realize that we're on the fast and dangerous slopes of this world, and that we're going down, down, down. We need to realize there's nothing good of myself. I am a sinner, just like everybody around me. Romans 3 talks about that we are all sinners, that we all need the Lord. No one is free from sin. But until I realize that I am a sinner, I cannot be with Jesus on the way. I need to realize that I am a sinner and I need Him. After I recognize that, then I need to repent. I need to be truly sorry for my sin. Not just sorry that I got caught. There's a lot of people in this world that they're on this fast slope and they bumped into somebody and they're terrible sorry about it. They're sorry they got caught. They're sorry they got hurt. Repentance is when I say, Lord, I'm tired of this old life. I want something more. I want to live life with you. How do I find the way? Repentance is truly sorry for my sins. We could be looking at many scriptures for these accounts. I'll just read one. Just simply, Jesus says, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Time is short. None of us know when our time of going down that slippery slope will be past. And we need a Savior to pluck us out and to save us. We need to pray and confess our sins. It just takes faith. It takes faith that truly God can save me and that God will give me power to live above the sin and the filth of this world. It takes faith. But when we realize our sinful condition, when we believe on Him, when we repent and we pray and we ask the Lord into our life, we are saved. And we are on the way with Him. We are following Him. And we can be assured that when Jesus comes back to take us home, that we can be with Him forever in eternity. And where God has went to prepare a place for us, we can be assured that we can be there with Him. But it's choices that we each need to make. And at any time as we start through that way, and we got that narrow way, and we want out, God says, you're free to leave. It's not a place that you get inside the funnel and you're forever there. But we need to live in a continual state with Him, allowing the Lord to transform us, to change us. What is the way? We have the way in this book. If we're going to know that we are in the way, that the Lord Jesus says, I am the way, how are we to find the way? We have to read this book. We have to read the scriptures in this book. We have to study it. We have to obey it. We read the verses there in chapter 14. He just says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's obedience, simple obedience. It's not complicated. Anyone in this world can be a child of God. But it takes a life of commitment, a life of surrendering my way. We have this book of instructions, and we need to follow it every day. We don't just pick and choose what we want to believe. You know, I could take you to a lot of nice verses. We could go to John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God is love. That's a great verse. So I'm just going to live my life on God is love. And I'm not going to be where I'm not going to come out at the right spot because I need all the instructions. It'd be a little bit like if you were going to go to my place for lunch today. And you didn't know where I lived. And so I said, I will tell you. You leave the parking lot, you make a left. You're going to come to a stop sign, you go straight through. When you come to the second stop sign, you make, oh, I'll just forget it, forget it. I got a GPS, it'll get me there. What's your address? Look, I'm telling you, listen to my instructions. Now, GPS. Okay, GPS. You're not going to get to my house following a GPS, because GPS will take you down past my house and down to the neighbor's house. I'm going to be waiting for you for lunch, and you're not going to get there because you didn't follow the instructions. You thought you had a mental idea on how to go. And so many Christians think they can reason on how to go. They have their own ideas. They have their own way of doing it. And you're not going to get there. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss the dinner. There's only one way that you can be with the Lord, and that is if you follow all the instructions in the book. Jesus is the only way to having our greatest needs met. Jesus is the only way we are adopted into the family of God. He says, in my Father's house. It's that family relationship. If he's your father, that means you're a son, a daughter. That means you have rights to eternal life. In my Father's house are many mansions. There's room for everyone. Jesus is the way that we are adopted into the family of God. Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus is the only way from controlling fear. Let me repeat that. Jesus is the only way to keep us from controlling fear and agitations of life. I didn't say you won't be fearful, but that controlling fear, that fear that just wells up within our heart that will keep us from sleeping at night. That's what he says. Let not your heart be troubled. Trust me. Trust the Father. I am the way. I can do this for you. Allow me to. I've already been there. I am the way. You don't have to figure it out. Verse 16 and 18, he talks about he's going to send that comforter to us. Jesus is the way that we can experience blessing and inward comfort in the face of outward criticism. This world is just full of hatred for people that stand for truth. They will make fun of you. They will despise you. They will hate you. But let not your hearts be troubled. I am sending a comforter, Jesus says, that will come and abide with your hearts, that will guide you into all truth. These are things that Jesus is doing because he is the way. He says, I am the way, I am the truth. And if something is truth, it's finality. It's just the way it is. Jesus is the truth, and you can trust him. And so I'd just like to stop and think a little bit about trusting him. Not only are we following him in the way, but we can trust him with our whole life. I'd like to go through this chapter and pick out the different times that he says, I will do this for you. I don't know if you thought about it. As we went down through red, he says, I will. And when Jesus says, I will, it's going to happen. Verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's not letting his saints down here just to mess around. They're lost. No. He says, I will come again. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Doesn't say I'm going to think about it. These are of our heart's desires, not things that we just wish we had. But if we seek the Lord's face, God can do wonderful things for us. I will do it. Verse 16, I will. I will pray the Father. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Not I might. He says, I will. Verse 21, I will love him. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. It's a promise that God gives to you, that if you love him, if you keep his commandments, if you obey him, he says, I will love you. You will have the relationship with the Father. Verse 23, it really doesn't say, I will, but it talks about the thing he will. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. Just another promise that God says, I will do this for you. We can trust him. We can trust him with life. Whatever we're going through, put your trust, your confidence in Jesus, because he is the way. He is the one to eternal life. In closing, I'd like to read verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And to a church family, I say, arise, be strong in the Lord, and go hence this week. Allow the Lord to control your path, because he says, I am the way. Follow him. Trust him. There's work to be done. There's souls to be saved. Arise, go hence. Let us kneel for prayer.